Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. It's Diane Thomas, your host. We are going to continue our series on tithing versus giving, and we're talking about some practical aspects now. And we talked a great deal last Saturday about the whole idea that so many Christians have this law mentality. Now, we all do to some degree in some areas. We've been ingrained so strongly with that fairness, that equality, that it's, you know, what God gives us, we are obligated to do something with it in order to make it God justified for giving it to us. We have this really hard struggle with the whole concept of gift. And with that, we also have a real hard struggle with understanding our responsibilities and what is our job? What is God's job? What is our job? This all stems from the whole misunderstanding of our relationship with God. As a reminder, you are a spirit being. You're not a human being, and you're not a human doing. There's that old adage, you're not a human being, you're human, or human doing, you're a human being. Well, you're neither. You're a spirit being. And as such, you have the characteristics and the qualities and the rights and the responsibilities of a spirit being. There's only two spirit beings, kinds of spirit beings, God and us. What we can refer to as born again. And you're born into a new life, eternal life. You receive eternal life. It's not something, eternal life is not more of the same thing you have in your soul or your body. Eternal life is spirit life. And right now, if you have been re-spirited, if you have accepted the free gift of God, you now have all the eternal life you're ever going to get. I was thinking the other day about our preconceptions and misconceptions about heaven and where they came from. And if you really studied out, and hell and so many other things, but if you really studied out, people think that their idea of heaven, they've gotten it from the scriptures. But when you ask them, okay, find this, find, you know, what you believe about when you die, you go to heaven. Where do you get that from? And you'll sit around in mansions playing harps or on clouds or that's it. Where do you get that? And that, you know, you'll have jewels in the crown according to how well you did here. And there's such a wide variety, can't go through them all. Where do you get that idea? And yet when we go to, maybe there's a one minor reference, but when we look at the whole scripture in context, most of the time it's not talking about any kind of thing after death at all, let alone us. So we've created our own idea about how God rewards us, or why we put up with things here on this earth is for rewards in heaven. And in many respects, those very misbeliefs and misconceptions are what are keeping us from accomplishing what God has set aside this earth time to do, which is to learn to rule and reign here. So getting back to tithing, and let's change that, getting back to ruling and reigning over your finances, because that's really what we're talking about. As a spirit being, you have access to all the resources of the kingdom. Anything that belongs to God belongs to you. I love the example when Jesus was being tempted in the desert, Satan came up and offered him all the kingdoms of the world. The problem is, Jesus already owned them all. When we believe the lies, either that we've inherited or that are spoken to us about our relationship to what's going on here on this earth, we are vulnerable to being drained of our focus and our attention and our relationship. So on even a moment-by-moment basis, we are learning to let the Lord question and bring into question our thoughts, our beliefs, our feelings. We have this idea, Paul calls it the idolatry of the will. Some have this idea that if you are in the will of God, He is providing for all your needs. And likewise, if you're having some struggles in some areas, financial, for instance, you must be out of God's will. And that's true in relationships and in the other area. If your marriage is running into problems, you must be out of God's will. You must be disobeying God. And these are all areas where or you're under attack. You're the devil's after you. This is true in our physical realm as well. You may be mistreating your body for 50 years and then get cancer and think it's an attack from the enemy. These are areas where the more we understand the different realms of reality, and as we've talked so many times, this is just my explanation. Doesn't mean somebody else isn't just as right in their understanding, but this is what makes sense to me, is there are the three realms of reality, the spiritual, the supernatural, and the natural. And those are the things that are tied to this earth are natural. Time is tied to this earth. And of course, our bodies, our physical bodies, are tied to this earth. They follow the laws of this earth, this world, this time zone. And to try to elevate what is in this earth to either the supernatural or the spiritual realms, again, we are falling into a deception simply because we are requiring something to behave differently than God made it to behave. And it will not work. And when we make excuses for it, or we try to blame someone, we try to blame God or ourselves or someone else, we are maintaining that deception in our mind about what we believe. For instance, when we talk about our finances, and if we do think that if we are in the will of God, all our needs will be provided for, our focus is on being in the will of God rather than focusing on what is our responsibility in the natural realm. Because one thing to remember is even if you are a non-Christian, unbelievers, people who are dead in their spirit, also have authority over the natural realm. Because before you became a Christian, before you were re-inspirited and became a spirit being, you were a supernatural being, a soulical being. And the soulical beings that function at their highest level in the supernatural realm have authority over the natural realm. So even the least that are not in the kingdom have authority over their finances, have authority over their bodies, have authority over what is going on in their kingdom, in their world. So if they have authority, if you had authority over your kingdom before you became a Christian, how much more do you have authority now that you are a spirit being and are not only have authority over your kingdom, but have authority in God's kingdom? But if you can't rule and reign over your kingdom, that we are supposed to be able to reign over even without being re-spirited, you're not going to be able to be put in that place to have the eyes to see, to have the opportunities to rule and reign in the kingdom, in God's kingdom. I think of the story of Enoch. Way, way, way back when, somehow he was able to see into the spirit promises of God to the extent that God had to remove him, or his purpose for this time here on this earth would have been shortchanged. Because he has a timeline that's going on here on this earth. Now you and I can rise above it because we are spirit beings. But Enoch was not a spirit being. And yet somehow he saw it. His desire was to see God so strongly that God responded. And God cannot help but respond to that desire. He wants to be wanted. And when we want him on his terms, he reveals himself. Because again, he's a giver. His desire is to give. So he pours himself into the vessels that will receive him. Well, Enoch received him. So if Enoch could do that to the point where God was pouring everything he had into him so that Enoch walked with him, how much more can we have authority over our little kingdom, our soul and our body? Right now, that's your kingdom that you are to be learning to rule and reign over. Not your house, not your household, not your spouse, not your kids, but your soul, your mind, your will and emotions, and your body, and what you do with them, the decisions you make. This is part of learning to take responsibility, develop your own judgment. We are learning to live and move and have our being in the spirit realm by taking every opportunity to rule and reign over our moment-by-moment existence here on this earth. God frees us, he heals our wounds, and he reveals himself. But that's a lot more work than just, Lord, if I'm not in your will, show me where I'm not in your will. And he says, what about your will? Think about one of the things in the scriptures we're referred to as ambassadors for Christ. Well, the whole idea of sending an ambassador is that ambassador knows the intent, knows the heart of the king, and is sent as a representative to implement the will of the king into that situation, into a country or a war or whatever. In your spirit, you know the heart of God. You know his will. It is your responsibility to be implementing that will in your kingdom. Now, if he wants you to be sharing that with others, that's a whole part of the process as well, but that's not the main focus. It's all about coming back to, Lord, what's going on here? And we come to him with our purposes and plans and say, okay, Lord, this is what I think needs to be done in this situation. You are learning to be a son of God in your soul and your body. You already are in your spirit. You're becoming one, spirit, soul, and body. And we so often think, okay, as soon as we die and go to heaven, and say we've got these little jewels in the crown or whatever, then we'll have authority. Then we'll judge. Well, what are you going to judge based on if you've never judged before? What authority are you going to exercise if you've never learned the scope of your authority and how it works? You prepare. You get ready. You use every opportunity you have. And in your finances, rather than thinking in terms of evaluating our financial situation as a reflection of our relationship with God, how good we're doing, we get this idea that if God gives us a ministry, it's his duty, his responsibility to provide for it. Now, in one sense, that is absolutely true. But he does that through our working for it. This goes back to another misunderstanding we have about work. One of the highest levels of work we have is waiting. Being available, sitting quietly in the presence of God and working with him as he works in us. Instead, we think of working as doing. If God has called you to a ministry to the poor, we think of working as 24 hours a day helping the poor. Doing something, getting the word out, building up the church, getting new, you know, members to the church, whatever it is, spreading the word. And God's idea is all about you. God's purpose is you. Not what you do, not what you need. He's created every circumstance in your life for a purpose, to bring you into that oneness, that completeness, spirit, soul, and body, so that he can pour out more of himself into you. Not so you can go out and evangelize the world. That's not his focus. And that's heresy in many corners. Because, well, they're all going to go to hell if nobody tells them, and then we're going to be responsible. Well, that's another one of those myths that we've made up for ourselves so we can be motivated by our emotions and have control over our goal. The problem with what we're talking about here is that you have to be able to hear from God. So just as in our finances, we don't make assumptions that if we're being taken care of, we must be in the will of God. And if we're not being taken care of, we must be out of the will of God. We must be displeasing him. What do we need to do to get things right? Where did we miss him? We don't draw conclusions. We ask. Likewise, we don't wait around. If God says, no, you're fine, you're right in the will of God. You're right in my will. Just keep going the way you're going. And what if your house is being foreclosed on? Guess what? Who signed that mortgage? God may even have said, yes, go ahead and sign the mortgage. Whose signature is on that mortgage? It's yours. Who is responsible for paying that? Even though God may have told you, yes, go ahead, get this house, you are responsible. What do you need to do? You need to make decisions. Whether it's get 2, 3, 4 more jobs, sell the house, whatever you need to do. But you need to take responsibility for it. And don't turn around and blame God. Well, God, you told me to buy this house, and now I can't pay for it. There's a lot of times when we think we're hearing from him, but because we haven't learned how to test what we hear, we look back and we go, okay, that probably wasn't God. Now that I look back and I realize that I couldn't afford the house to begin with, how come he told me to go ahead and do it? Rather than, it wasn't God. There's so many basic, fundamental relationship issues we need to really be focusing on before we can be moving on to anything new that God wants to do in us and through us. Hear him clearly, be able to test and have the confidence, and you're still going to be wrong, but that's fine. We're in process, and he loves us. So we just get up and go, oh, man, okay, whoops. Won't do that again. And, you know, we learn more by our mistakes than we do by getting it right the first time. So value the circumstances and the opportunities you're going through. And let's not blame anyone for them. Don't be thinking that just because God says you're in the right place where I want you, that he is going to drop a check in the mail to you. Or the money's just going to fall into your lap. This is your responsibility. So, understanding the tithing and the giving and the difference. Why is this so important? What are the consequences of not understanding? The financial understanding, it's so much a matter of control. how much we give, when, and to whom we give of our resources, our time, and our money is often one of the ways we gain or maintain control. We try to control God, thinking that if we give, we can get God to take care of us. We control others to whom we give, thinking that if we give to a church, a ministry, or a person, we then should have some say in how the money is spent, or have a say in how they live their lives. But none of these are examples of giving, but of manipulating. In true giving, giving of money, time, goods, and services, when these are given unconditionally with no strings attached, that is true giving. I love the analogy of don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. If your right hand gives, once it's out of your hand, it's done. Don't let your left hand even know about it. Don't think about it again. It's we give in response to the Lord telling us to do thus and so with that and this. So when he says, give here, we give. When he says, don't give there, and we'll get into some specifics about how to ask and how to evaluate. But it's as simple as all the other areas of our life. We ask, and we develop a pattern. We're getting to learn to know how God works, how he is, how he functions. His being. We can enjoy giving, but we can't keep track of it. We have no control over what God or others do with it. It's out of our hands. To think we have any responsibility for what we give is to claim ownership rights. Rights that God will often be very jealous over. So if you give money to someone and they blow it, if you've asked God and confirmed that, yes, you are to do this, and they blow it, that's not your problem. You don't get angry with God. You take your hands off it. You don't even notice. I love the example in 2 Samuel 24, where David is cursed by God for numbering the people of Israel. All he did was find out how many people he was king over. He took a census. Now, this may seem like a small thing to us, especially since here in the U.S. we're gearing up for a census. But by counting the people, David exerted his authority over them. Likewise, as we spend time with our money, we exert authority over something that rightfully belongs to God, who bought all of us lock, stock, and barrel. Now, he didn't stop at our checkbooks and say, well, okay, I'll let you retain control over your money. Our finances are his by purchase, and he has not given us permission to decide what to do with it outside of our responsibility as spirit beings. As a spirit being, you can't not take responsibility for it. I hope you see the distinction. We don't, it's all his because he created it, because you're his. And he has said, you learn how to manage what I have given to you to learn to manage. So hopefully that's clear. We might need to spend a little bit more time on that next week as well. If you've got any specific questions, feel free, as always, drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. We'll be picking it up there next Saturday. Until then, have a great week. This has been Diane of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.